John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. We want to preach on the subject we would title, "This is Real Love." This is real love. And for our text, we'd like to read 1 John 4, verse 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. The beloved apostle gives us quite the tutorial on the subject of love in this passage of scripture that we've just read. In verse number 11, he tells us, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The word so means if God has loved us in this manner, after this manner, he describes that love. Verse 9 and verse number 10. And then he says in that 11th verse, if God so loved us, if God loved us in this manner, we ought to love one another. Isn't that true? Shouldn't God's people love each other? Are we not commanded to love one another? Do we not have a responsibility? But with the responsibility put aside and the commandment aside, if God has loved us as is described in this passage of Scripture, ought we not love one another? And the answer, of course, is yes, we ought. In verse number 12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Many boast of being a Christian. Many boast of having God dwelling within them. But here in this 12th verse, it says, if we love one another, then God dwelleth within us. If we love as we ought to love, then we prove, we evidence God's dwelling within us. Second part of that 12th verse, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is complete. His love is brought full circle when we love one another. God has loved us. We love one another. It's because of that love that God has given us. And that love, when we love one another, when we show it to each other, is perfected, is matured, is complete within us. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Do we? Do we? Is the proof there? Is the evidence there according to this passage of Scripture? If we love one another, then God dwells within us. And that's only because we can't love without God. We can't love without God loving us, without God helping us to show love to others. If we love one another, His love is perfected within us. I want to look at verse number 10 this evening. And I want us to notice from that 10th verse, four things about real love. Four things about real love. You see, in the first part of that 10th verse, those words, "Herein is love." What that basically says is, this is real love. Herein is love. This is real love. Then he describes four things about real love. God's word tells us the definition of real love. First thing verse number 10 tells us about real love is that real love does not originate with us. Real love does not begin with us. God does not love us because we first loved Him. We are depraved sinners, incapable of loving, at enmity with God, an enemy of God, and at enmity with Him. Real love does not originate with us. It tells us in that 10th verse, "Herein is love, this is real love, not that we loved God, not that it began with us." Many people want to boast about how much they loved God and how much they loved Jesus, and they decided to be saved, or they decided to believe, they decided to take Christ as their Savior. And they have a salvation that originates with themselves. And I say a salvation that originates with oneself is no salvation at all. If you have a salvation that originated with yourself, you don't have real salvation, because real love does not originate with man. Herein is love, not that we loved God. The book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus, chapter 3. Verse 3 through 5. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." We were, that's describing us. "We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Hating one another. Hating. That's what we did naturally. That's how we were. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Verse 3 tells us what we were. Tells us we didn't love. We didn't have the ability to love, the capability of loving. But after the kindness and love of God toward man appeared, not by our works of righteousness, not by anything we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We are sinners, dead in our trespasses and sins. We did not love God. We were, in fact, the enemy of God. We didn't have it within us to love. Real love doesn't originate with us. This is so important, because the salvation that is being preached in the day and time in which we live, and the gospel that's being preached, really does have love beginning with man. Man initiating that love. But real love doesn't originate with us. Because the second thing we see in that 10th verse of our text herein is love, not that we loved God, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. In verse number 7 and 8 of our text, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is from and according to the nature of God. Love comes from God, who is the source of all love. Love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Real love does not originate with us. Real love originates with God. And we love because He loved. We didn't first love, He first loved. Therefore, we're able to love and, in essence, return that love toward Him. In verse number 19, I've quoted it a few times already tonight, but it says very simply in verse 19 of this passage, we love Him because He first loved us. Somebody has said, and I would agree, that we can read this 19th verse this way. We love because He first loved us. We love God because God first loved us. But we love anybody. We love anything. We love it all because He first loved us. We love because of His initiating of love toward us. I thought about the words in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 3. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have loved thee. The love that He had was an everlasting love. It didn't just originate. It didn't begin after Jeremiah first loved God, but it was an everlasting love. It's an eternal love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, Because I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Third thing in that text verse, verse number 10, herein is love. This is real love. Real love did not originate with us. But real love originated with God. And then he tells us, herein is love. God loved us and sent his Son. That's real love. Real love is seen in God sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to save his people. That's real love. All of us can probably quote John 3:16. But it plainly tells us, for God so loved, God initiated, God was the source, God loved first, God loved with an everlasting love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. He gave his only begotten Son. Verse number 9 of this text. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. In the last part of that 10th verse, the fourth thing we want to note about real love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Real love originates with God. Real love is God sending his Son. Real love is his Son dying upon the cross to be the propitiation, to be the satisfying. Real love is seen in Christ dying for his people. Because of love, God sent his Son. But because of love, Jesus came. And Jesus Christ gave his life for his people. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us. That's real love. That's real love. Back in 1 John chapter 3, verse verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We perceive his love because he laid down his life for us. This is real love. Real love does not originate with man. Real love, if we have real love and have experienced real love, did not originate with us. Real love originates with God. And if we've experienced real love and we're able to really love, it's because he first loved us. And there is no greater demonstration of love than that a man would give his life for a friend. There's no greater manifestation for love than that Christ gave his life for his people. This is real love we're talking about. Does God love you? Do you believe God loves you? Do you think you love God? When did that love originate? Where did that love come from? I can't, never have been able to, nor can anybody else scripturally, walk up to somebody we know nothing about and say, smile, God loves you. Because we don't know that. We have no way of knowing that. And there is no scriptural support for making such a statement. But what we do know about real love is that it didn't originate with us. It originates with God. God loved us first, proved his love, showed his love by sending his son, and by his son coming and dying upon the cross for our sins. And we can smile and say, I know God loves me. Because he first loved me, he sent his son, and his son died for my sins, and he's my Lord and my Savior, and he's the only one I'm trusting. I put no confidence in myself. I didn't start this thing. I didn't initiate this thing. God first loved me. God loved me with an everlasting love. Do you know this evening that God loves you? If he really does, and it's real love, it'll be according to these things that we've just noticed. But if you have a love that originated with yourself, or a salvation that originated with you doing something, then I beg of you to consider the status of your eternal soul. Love doesn't begin with man. It begins with God. And God showed his love by sending his son, and by his son dying upon the cross for his people. I put before you this evening the only way you can know God loves you is to believe he sent his son to die for your sins that you might live. That's the only way you can know tonight God loves you, is by believing God sent his son to die for your sins that you might live. Do you know that love? Do you know Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins? Do you know that you love God because he first loved you and he sent his son? The eunuch said in Acts chapter 8, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" The response was basically, "The only thing hindering you from being baptized is if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The only thing hindering him from being baptized was knowing the love of God, knowing that God first loved him, sent his Son, and that his Son died upon the cross for his sins. The only thing that would hinder anybody here tonight from being baptized, becoming a member of Grace Missionary Baptist Church, the only thing that could hinder you from doing those things is if you don't know the love of God. Nothing can hinder the one who has truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody here is one day going to die. It matters not what time of day it is or what stage of life you're in, or what condition your health. The reality is, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that God loved you, sent his Son into this world, and that Jesus Christ died for you that you might be saved? The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. "What must I do to be saved?" Is there anybody here this evening asking that same question? When you hear talk about salvation, you hear talk about everlasting life, eternal security, you hear talk about the forgiveness of sin. Is there anybody here who quietly and privately asks, "I wonder what I need to do to be saved. I wonder what I need to do to be baptized. I wonder what I need to do to be a member of the church. I wonder." The answer to all these things is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God sent him into this world, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Believe with all your heart, and thou shalt be saved. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. It didn't originate with us. But he loved us. Proved his love by sending his Son. By sending his Son to die upon the cross for our sins. This is real love. The only way you can know, the only way you can leave here tonight knowing God loves you, the only way you can sit here in this sanctuary and say, "I know God loves me," if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've repented of your sins and you know he first loved you and he sent his Son and Jesus died for you, and there is nothing hindering, nothing keeping the salvation of the worst of all sinners, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God causes us to examine ourselves, we who have experienced the love of God and in return are able to love and know he proved his love by sending his Son, and he proved his love by having Jesus Christ die for us. The only way we can respond to that or consider that is to ask ourselves, are we loving principally one another? Is there any reason we're not? Is there anything in our hearts and in our lives that's keeping us from really loving as we ought? There's nothing that keeps the most backslidden Christian, church member, preacher. Only thing that keeps the worst offender concerning loving as we ought, getting forgiveness for that, is to confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we ought to love each other. Because aside from the Lord and our great God, we're all we've got in this world. This world's not our friend. This world doesn't love God, doesn't love our God. This world doesn't love us. We ought to love one another. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you know what real love is? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put everything aside and cast everything off. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you'll know what real love is. Thank you, brother.